The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Happy Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday in the DMV Nation across the Fruited Plain. I was talking with my boss, George, a few minutes ago, and the Supreme Court story from yesterday, the oral arguments, just really astounded me. And it just gets to the point where you start thinking that the entire nation has turned into the DMV. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that actually in the DMV office in Medford, when I went there a few weeks ago, people were quite friendly and attentive and things went pretty smoothly. But you know the stereotype of the DMV. The DMV is where people go to just die. You know, you just go to die waiting in line, and there's just a lot of stupidity. I once had a contest a number of years ago when I was working a morning show in Fargo, North Dakota at KFGO at the time. And we had this really nice camera back when people really worried about having cameras before they were built into phones, you know, in the old days, that kind of thing. And so we sent people out to find impossible pictures. And one of the pictures that we did was we want you to go find someone smiling down at the DMV office, right? If you want to win this camera, you have to bring us back a picture of somebody smiling. And it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. But in all seriousness, it is kind of a DMV nation. And Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, concerned that the First Amendment is hamstringing government from censorship, is an important statement. No, I mean important with a hard T, not important like kittens or like I live in Manhattan. No, it's important. Big time. I wanted to share with you a few minutes of this this oral argument yesterday. It's Murthy v. Missouri. This is the one about the state suing, about the federal government more or less partnering with Facebook and all the other social media companies and censoring free speech of supposedly free Americans. And it's worth hearing. I think it's 3 minutes. It'll take 3 minutes, but I think it's quite interesting if you've not heard the whole conversation.
Justice Jackson?
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. What would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
And, Your Honor, I understand that instinct, and I guess what I tell you is our position is not that the government can't interact with the platforms there. They can and they should in certain circumstances like that that present such dangerous issues for society and especially young people. But the way they do that has to be in compliance with the First Amendment. And I think that means they can give them all the true information that the platform needs and ask to amplify that.
Right. You're just saying that. I guess I thought when you say the way they do that is consistent with the First Amendment is that they have to show that they have a compelling interest to do what they're doing. In other words, you want us to take the line to be between compulsion and encouragement. And what we're looking at is the government can't compel, maybe they can encourage. I'm wondering whether that's not really the line. The line is, does the government, pursuant to the First Amendment, have a compelling interest in doing things that result in restricting the speech in this way? That test, I think, takes into account all of these different circumstances, that we don't really care as much about how much the government is compelling, or maybe we do, but in the context of tailoring and not as sort of a freestanding inquiry that's overlaid on all of this. Does that make sense?
It does, Your Honor, and I apologize for missing your guidance earlier. So the way I think about that is I've been discussing the standard, and I thought we've all been discussing the standard on the front end of the analysis, which is there a First Amendment violation? Is there an abridgment of speech? I guess I would conceptually think of strict scrutiny, narrow tailing, compelling interest as coming in at the back end to say, yes, maybe in the ordinary case, the government shouldn't have been permitted to undertake the kind of suppression of free speech that it did, but in this unique circumstance, it actually had a compelling interest, and it used narrowly tailored means to accomplish that interest. I mean, I think that's the fail-safe. If you're concerned with the breadth of our arguments, that's one fail-safe, which is no matter how broad the standard the court adopts, there's always going to be strict scrutiny at the end of the line to save the government in times where it desperately needs to do the things that you're outlining.
Thank you.
Okay, 3 minutes of gobbledygook as they dance around the First Amendment. Listening to attorneys and a justice of the Supreme Court, who you recall in her confirmation hearing was not able to define what a woman was. Remember that story? Now, of course, that was about politics, because in politics, you're not supposed to be able to define what a woman is, right? That kind of thing. But they're all dancing around a pretty simple statement here. Remember, Ketanji Brown Jackson saying that she's concerned that the First Amendment hamstrings the government. Of course the First Amendment hamstrings the government. Every single Bill of Rights, of the 10 Bill of Rights, hamstrings the government in one form or another. That's the purpose of a Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Yes, that is a hamstring on the federal government. Of course, what I'm wondering here is maybe everyone is so corrupted these days that they can't even conceptualize this because there are so many exceptions. Well, you even heard them talking about a compelling interest. Well, there's always a compelling interest for government to censor us, to keep us from speaking. Remember the COVIDiocy? That's one of the biggest ones. In fact, that's one of the reasons why this lawsuit was filed in the first place, because of that, and how genuine debate and concerns about the COVID vaccines and the response to the COVID and the lockdowns and all the rest of this. That was first and foremost one of the things that happened. The federal government more or less went to Facebooks and the Instagrams and everybody else and said, hey, you know, it's a really nice social media platform you have there. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. That's in essence what it was. It was the implied threat. They didn't want anybody. And they had a compelling interest is that you go out and you get the shot and you shut the hell up. And nobody else is, what? You're taking ivermectin instead and it worked for you? Shut up. You took hydroxychloroquine and it worked for you? Shut up. Your doctor wants to talk about the fact that they gave you hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin and it ended up working for you and it didn't have the side effects of the vaccine, the so-called vaccine? Shut up. That's what the government did. And even that conversation that we had there between the justice and one of the petitioners, one of the attorneys for the other side, it's like you hear them talking about the, well, compelling interest. The First Amendment is clear. We the people have a compelling interest to not be silenced, even when it's unpleasant. And frankly, especially when it's unpleasant. Free speech needs absolutely, or I should say, popular speech needs absolutely no restrictions whatsoever or support because everyone's going to support it. It's the contrary views that are so important. That's why the founders had this. Remember the anti-federalists, the people who did not want to sign the Constitution back in the day because they were saying, hey, this is bad. This is going to end up leading to an all-powerful government. Well, they ended up being right. The anti-federalists were absolutely right and spot on. One of the reasons why there was a Bill of Rights tacked onto the Constitution was because of the anti-federalists. the ones who did not trust that the federal government would be trusted with all this power. And so they're still arguing that we have a Supreme Court justice that is concerned about it hamstringing the government, which is the exact purpose of the First Amendment. Just like the Second Amendment. Look at how corrupted this has become. It's a pretty simple, pretty short, a well-regulated militia. By the way, that's the army of the people. Being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And yet we have, what, 20,000 or so firearms laws on the books right now? I guess it has to do with that compelling interest thing that Ketanji Jackson was talking about. Third Amendment, no soldiers shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Now they'll just quarter an illegal alien in your house right now. You'll say amendment, and you'll say, hey, wait a minute, my Third Amendment right. Well, the illegal alien is not a soldier, but it's an invader. Never mind. I know I'm being sarcastic, but you know where I'm going. Fourth Amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, support by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. Boy, that one's just about a dead letter right now, too, isn't it? Fourth Amendment. Right. Warrant? We don't need warrants. It's national security. One of the most important ones that I think is very important right now, Eighth Amendment. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Tell me that former President Trump, struggling to find some bond surety company so that he can actually appeal this atrocious New York court ruling with no victims, that he defrauded the system by overvaluing his property. Now, if he can't come up with a bond for the $450 million or so, they're going to start seizing everything he owns in New York. Well, I'll tell you, get out of New York. And he brings up the Eighth Amendment. Don's right. But I guess he has to be destroyed first before he could go before Ketanji Brown Jackson. And then Ketanji will probably be talking about, well, you know, New York government had a compelling interest to seize your property, mostly to keep you off the ballot and to bankrupt you. Next. Sorry, I'm being a little sarcastic about it right now. I'll try to stuff my natural cynicism and just let it go. And I'll try to be a little more open-minded to the bleedings of this people. And I'm thinking, Judge Jackson, wasn't the first thing you learned in con law that everything in the Bill of Rights, the 10 original amendments to the Constitution, is a restriction? I'm a little concerned that we're hamstringing the government. That's the whole purpose. You hamstring the government so that the people can be free. If you don't hamstring the government, the people are no longer free, Judge Jackson. This is the Bill Myers Show at KMED, KCMD. You're free to speak freely if you wish. 770-5633. For now.
American Wrencher Garage is your premier auto care provider, serving Medford, Central Point, and the Rogue Valley, providing nothing less than the highest quality standard of professionalism on every single service and repair. Call today. Appointments are available for oil change to engine change. Get the peace of mind you deserve at American Wrencher Garage on Biddle, across from Elmer's. 499-6673. 499-6673. American Wrencher Garage. We stand behind every job we do, with service you can trust.
Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., specializing in new roof construction and re-roofing. Our mission is to make sure each and every one of our clients can sleep at night knowing they have a roof over their head that lasts and will keep them protected. 601-9108, CZB number 230804.
And Doug.
Being a spokesperson's easy, kid. Just say, customize and save with Liberty Mutual.
Customize and save with Liberty Bibberty.
That's not it.
Letter B Mutual.
Mm-mm.
Liberty Musical.
Nope.
Liberty line.
It's two words. Liberty Mutual.
Got it. Don't not pay at libertymuttnoodle.com.
Wow. I guess I'll just do it.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com. That's a wrap.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
Some of the people we have coming up this morning include Kim Hector. We're going to talk with Kim Hector. Grants Pass. Guess the city council is looking at approving this this piece of property over by the dollar store. And the talk is that this is going to be a RV park for the homeless. Yikes. Neighborhood not real happy about an RV park for the homeless. We'll talk with Kim about that here in the next few minutes. Dr. Lieberman, Dr. Carol Lieberman, you know, America's psychiatrist, she'll join me. And there's a new study out there that people who are woke tend to be really unhappy and depressed compared with normal people who are not woke. So it's an interesting study. We'll talk with her about that in just a little while. Captain Bill Simpson also joining me after 8 o'clock this morning. He's going to be live from Siskiyou County, and he's going to be heading into the County Board of Supervisors meeting. The rumor is that they're going to declare a state of emergency today about the Klamath Dam removal and the environmental excrement show, which has been resulting ever since, okay? But first topic we were hitting at this morning, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, concerned that the First Amendment hamstrings the government. It hamstrings the government in the ability to censor because, well, you know, if we censor, you know, how can we make sure we can get the government's point of view out there if we can't censor? That's essentially what she was saying. Tom, great to have you here. What's on your mind?
Well, of course, the First Amendment. You know, we're basically in war right now, and it's like the communists in our midst are in war with freedom, with the Bill of Rights, and they want to abolish it all and just set up their police state USA, and that's where it's all headed right now. And you get these people who should know better, should understand the right of free speech.
Well, if she knew better, though, she probably wouldn't have been nominated by the Joe Biden administration, though. You got to remember that.
Yeah, that's a real endorsement.
Yeah,
exactly. I keep thinking of Thomas Jefferson's quote. He talked about the importance of free speech. And, yeah, it can be messy, people going back and forth and so forth. But he says that the back and forth, eventually the cream will rise to the top. Right now, what we got is not cream rising to the top. It's something else, which I won't mention. And
well, you know, what I was thinking is kind of rising to the top. You know, when you have the when you make a pot roast and you have that scummy fat kind of all congealed on the top, that's kind of what I'm thinking has been rising to the top. And I say fat because it's a bunch of the grifters feeding on the carcass of America, I think, is really what is going on there right now. This is a serious concern. And, of course, I wonder if most Americans right now would even understand the importance of what Ketanji Brown Jackson said and this concern about hamstringing the government, if they would even understand what this really means for them. And I don't know if they do.
Oh, I don't think they do either. Just the same kind of, quote, education, government education that she had. It's the same kind that's across the land right now. And because of government education, people are ignorant as hell, dumb as hell. They don't understand anything. They don't understand history. And that's the purpose. I keep saying that, you know, next to the Fed, government education has been the great destroyer of the republic.
It sure does that way. I've been recovering from mine. Well, you know, think about this. Think about the difference. Think of the difference of, let's even take Noel Robinson, who's been on the show a few times over the last few weeks since announcing his run for state senate. Didn't have a television when he was growing up, right? They were not allowed to have a television. Homeschooled by Art Robinson, right? You know, brilliant guy. Mm-hmm. And look at him now. Doctorate in chemistry, you know, PhD in chemistry. You have Matthew, the doctorate in nuclear sciences. You think and you see what they ended up accomplishing with their lives and the way most people are going through the government school system, how they end up coming out.
My main concern about, quote, government education is the very existence of it, because you take these young minds, you're suddenly put in a government institution, and no matter what you think about it, it becomes integrated into your whole psychic. And so as adults, you think government should be the source of all good and everything.
And I think that was actually the purpose of it, Tom. I think that was the active statement that you had right there, the key of it. Thank you very much for calling, as always. Let me go to line two before we do news break, and then we'll be talking with Kim Hector here in just a couple of minutes. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Yeah, Ron Grasspass.
Hey, Ron, what's on your mind about this, huh?
Yeah, a little different subject. You know, if Trump gets in and we have all of these 10 million or 6 million, however many invaders from other lands, we have a problem as to what to do. He wants to repatriate them back to their nation.
Mm-hmm.
My option is that he takes one of the territorial islands in the oceans that we have and utilize that as a base choice. Two choices. You can go back to where you came from by slow boat some way, or you can go to this island if we can't define who you are, where you live.
Okay, I have a suggestion for an island, all right? I know this may upset some people, but I say the 50th state, or I think that's the 57th state if you're Obama, that would be Hawaii. Hawaii is openly hostile to most people's rights. And really, they like to restrict guns and do all sorts of other things. I would suggest that the entire that we take the illegal aliens, you drop them in Hawaii, and it's going to be paradise because the diversity will bring so much to the average Hawaiian's life there. You know that.
Yeah, but they're just going to go in and ruin it and make a mess of it. So you might as well.
Well, yeah, I'd rather them ruin Hawaii than the rest of the continental U.S. How about that?
Well, okay? No. I'm not saying continental U.S. I'm saying they got to go to like Guam or Mariana Island.
Did Guam ever do to us?
Well, what did Hawaii ever do to us?
I mean, the only thing that Guam has ever been has been a punchline because of Hank Johnson. Remember his whole life that the island was going to capsize if too many people were on one side of it. What do you have against Guam?
Then problem solved.
Okay, right. I'm just having fun with you, all right? All right, let me take a quick break. Let's talk about a neighborhood dispute going on in Grants Pass here. They'll be coming up. This is interesting. I guess city council is going to have a talk on this tomorrow. And we'll talk with Kim Hector about it next.
The promise I made to my grandmother 20 years ago, to create a place that feels like home, with great food and caring people, and a really nice yard, continues today in Medford. The Springs Living was a dream that was created for my family. And we're still here today to make life just a little bit easier for yours.
This Springs at Anna Maria in Medford. Call 541-774-1822.
Purchase a new Wayne Dalton garage door and genie opener and get $150 cash back at American Industrial Door. Now through April, choose a Wayne Dalton steel door including modern, traditional, and carriage house styles and get $100 cash back, then pair it with a genie opener for another $50 cash back. American Industrial Door will help you find the perfect mix of style and functionality to replace your old door. See the possibilities at American Industrial Door showrooms on Crater Lake Avenue in Central Point and in Grants Pass on Union Avenue.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Cerna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. Grants Pass City Council could soon regulate services given at the city's public parks by overriding the mayor. We told you late last week that Grants Pass Mayor Sarah Bristol was going to veto the recently passed humanitarian service ordinance. The ordinance would force anyone planning to give out food, clothing, or other services at public parks to register with the city of Grants Pass. That would include a fee. Mayor Bristol said last week that the ordinance could open the door to a lawsuit against the city and would also be a burden to law enforcement. Now, council will vote whether or not to override the mayor's veto at the next council meeting Wednesday evening. It will take place at 101 Northwest A Street, Wednesday, March 20th at 6 p.m. Then Monday, North Medford High School astronomy students got a special visit from an astronomer that worked for NASA. North Medford High School is Oregon's only high school with a planetarium, and it's where Dr. Jessica Sutter, an assistant professor at Whitman College in Washington, shared her astronomy work with students. Dr. Sutter specializes in taking pictures of forming galaxies using one of the most advanced telescopes in the world, the James Webb Space Telescope. Dr. Sutter will also have a presentation open to the public today at 7 p.m. for free. It'll be at North Medford High School's Planetarian Room. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Natalie Serna. Have a great day.
6:37, Steve's in Sunny Valley. Steve, you wanted to bite on something that Ron from Grants Pass was just mentioning a moment ago about what to do with illegal immigrants or illegal aliens once the government, if it ever wanted to go to it, was going to repatriate them. What would you say?
Well, the first thing is, historically, Russia stuck them in gulags in Siberia. We have Alaska for that. But they get criticized for that.
Mm-hmm.
Great Britain used Australia, sent all their criminals over there, and they got criticized for that. Hawaii is too nice of a place. We don't want to wreck it.
Oh.
But when you're farming, there's two ways to feed your animals. You either take the food to them, or they have legs. They can walk to where the food is. So they brought themselves here. They can bring themselves out. The simple solution is, you cannot get a job and you cannot get any government assistance if you're not a citizen.
And so you think that would pretty much take care of the situation? Have a lot of self-deportation then, right?
Self-deport, yeah. Now, you could do nice things like use all of these cruise ships that were kind of mothballed with the pandemic and say, we'll give you 2 weeks of the best food in your life, but you're going to end up back where you came from.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing I would... One of the biggest benefits, though, that is given to illegal immigrant families, though, is the $15,000 to $20,000 a year that the taxpayers are forced to pay for each child here, too. And Supreme Court has more or less said that is a requirement. It's a requirement. You got to do that.
Well, you know, laws change. Laws change. And I was in Switzerland for 4 months, and there you could be a second or third generation Turk or Pole living in Switzerland, but if the times go bad, you get sent back to a country you've never been to because you're not a citizen. You're a foreign worker.
You're right about that. I've read the way other countries tend to look at it, and they're quite a bit more muscular about it than the United States for whatever reason.
Right, and maybe all of these people that were complaining about it can go back with them. We have a huge problem coming, and that is gangs. Look what El Salvador did. They put 60,000 people in jail. They gave up all of their human rights, all of their due process. I mean, but the crime dropped. Do we want that here? We really don't. But there are gangs in Honduras, El Salvador, Haiti, and they're coming here.
Well, you know how I've talked a long time is that being a free people means that you have to be relatively law-abiding people. You can't have a whole bunch of dirtbaggy criminal types there and really be a free people, unfortunately, because then the government ends up having license to crack down on everyone in order to catch the few. The ones that are causing the trouble. All right. Interesting point there, Steve. Appreciate the call. Thanks for that. 6:39 at KMED KCMD. Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. There's a big boulder in the neighborhood of a Grants Pass area place. They're a little concerned about what might be happening with a piece of land next to Dollar General. We'll talk with them next.
When John and Dan Drake purchased Drake's Paint in 2005 from their fathers, all the Benjamin Moore paint and inventory came with it, of course. But the most valuable part of the transaction was the name handed down from their great-great-grandfather. The Drakes have been painters for generations, and they've built their reputation with integrity, respect, love, and hard work. Those qualities are alive today at your only locally owned paint store in Medford and Grants Pass. Drake's Paint and Supply, featuring America's best paint, Benjamin Moore.
Haven't done your taxes in a while? Got them all sitting in a pile? Just one call will make you smile. Call Pat Hurley. He's a former Internal Revenue agent and an Oregon licensed tax consultant and enrolled agent. Call him now at 774-1040.
We've heard it all.
A wind gust blew me off the road.
I suppose yield can take on several meanings.
My hood got karate chopped by a railroad crossing gate.
I need to avoid visual distractions. They're distracting.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting drivers back on the road since 1946. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Nominations are open for this year's Bi-Coastal Media Best of Southern Oregon contest. Nominate and support your favorite businesses now through April 3rd at bestofsouthernoregon.com. There's nearly 200 categories to nominate all your favorite suppliers of goods and services. Whether it's medical, automotive, beauty, entertainment, food and beverage, and more, there's a category to nominate all your favorites. So visit bestofsouthernoregon.com today. Nominations close Wednesday, April 3rd at 5 p.m.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. This is the time which we allow you to just sort of let the pressure off. We don't want anybody stroking out there, but Kim Hector from Grants Pass has a problem with something going on there that the city council is going to be talking about tomorrow in tomorrow's session. Kim, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Kim, tell us about what is going on in your neighborhood. And what is it, Southwest Bridge Street neighborhood? Give us tell us where this is all going on right now, this particular piece of property. It's under concern.
Yeah, it would be at 2000 Southwest Bridge Street and Lincoln Road.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the city is planning on doing is annexing that property and then having Janser build an RV park with 87 spaces on 6.83 acres. And this is about three blocks from my house in a good neighborhood. And everybody notices the camper vehicles from the homeless people parked all around town. And what they, of course, they're denying, would deny it, but I think what they're planning on doing is taking all those campers, homeless campers, and putting them in that park. And you're going to have, convicted felons, you're going to have drug addicts, and you're going to have sex offenders. And there's Parkside Elementary School right across the street from Dollar General.
Mm-hmm.
So right next to it, you're going to have this monstrosity in our neighborhood. And, we're really concerned about that.
So currently this land, and by the way, I took a look at it, online yesterday. I didn't get a chance to go up and take a look at the property directly. But this is the property right next to Dollar General on Southwest Bridge Street. It looks like it has a bunch of cable and trucks or some kind of industrial trucks in it, right? That's the property we're talking about, right?
Yeah, it looks like some kind of cable company had the property, and they must have, sold it to the city, or I don't know exactly how they did the transaction. But the Urban Planning Commission last week approved it, said it meets all the requirements. So all the city has to do now is annex the property, and then they can build this monstrosity in our neighborhood.
Now, is the actual plan that is going to be talked about, not just to annex it, but to build it? Do we actually know that there is a homeless RV park, or is this conjecture that is driving this right now? Can you help us understand?
Well, yeah, there was a gentleman from Janser there.
And what is Janser, for those who don't know?
From what I understand, it's a company that made itself a fortune in the lumber industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it has its hands in a lot of areas business wise.
And the goal is to build an RV park. Now, an RV park is an unusual thing to be building within city limits, isn't it? I don't know if most cities have an RV park in the middle of a city.
Yeah, 87 spaces. And the thing is, we got tourist season, coming up. And so I think what the city wants to do is eliminate all the homeless camper vehicles from around town into one area where the tourists won't see it on the most west side, southwest side of Grants Pass.
Hmm. Are you
right next to the county?
Are you sure they want to put homeless in this, Kim? And I'm not sympathetic to a problem in your neighborhood. Okay, I just want to make sure that that they're really talking about this being, this is where we're going to take the drug addicted and the problematic homeless. And we're going to, in other words, if you're going to do anything with a homeless, the way it's working right now with this Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals thing, you have to have a place to send them. Do we know for a fact at this point that it would be used for this? Or could it just be, an RV park that will be used to help tourism here in Grants Pass?
I can't say for sure 100%, but that's the rumor around town.
Okay. Who owns the property, or who will own the property if the city's going to annex it? They'll make that decision tomorrow.
The city will own it.
The city will own it. Okay, well, if the city's going to own it, Well, I don't know. Jackson County set up an RV park over at the expo. Are we sure it couldn't just be something that they would do it kind of like that? What do you know? What can you help us understand?
I would doubt that very much, because we have an extremely liberal city council that feels sorry for the homeless and try and allow them to take over 19 of our 20 parks. And you can't even go to a park in Grants Pass without being harassed by crazy drug addict homeless people. And, it's just crazy here these days. It's not a safe city to be in anymore. Law enforcement, their hands are tied because they're constantly dealing with drug addict homeless people that aren't in their right minds at all. And it's just a terrible situation.
Hmm. Councilor Dwayne Junker just messaged me here, Kim, and said that this is not the city doing anything. This is a private business doing this. And the city will not own this. Says the city will not own this. Does that change your opinion whatsoever?
No.
No?
No, it doesn't change my opinion at all.
Okay. So would you, even if it was a private business wanting to set up an RV park, you wouldn't be in favor of that?
Absolutely not, because whoever owns it wants to build this park. I'm sure they'll go to the welfare people, and welfare will pay for the tokens for these people to camp their vehicles there.
Oh, so you're looking at this as that even if it's privately owned, it's going to be part of the grant stream funding, the taxpayer money will be coming to it one way or the other.
Part of the homeless industrial complex, where people make money off the misery of the law-abiding citizen as well as the misery of the homeless people.
All right. What time is the meeting tomorrow? And what, you going to have your neighborhood folks showing up on this one? I guess you're not real happy about it one way or the other.
I've canvassed the neighborhood and told a lot of people to come to the meeting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night at City Hall, where the city council is going to vote on annexing this property and recommending that they absolutely not annex the property.
If it were to remain in the county, could they still not build an RV park
that,
there?
Yeah, that I don't know. I just don't know.
I'm just wondering what by annexing it into the city, what would make it any different than actually it being in the county right now, which is where it is right now. Although I have to say that, you know, where it is right now, just being kind of like a truck warehouse or, you know, cable reel sitting in there or whatever it is, it doesn't have a lot of impact on the neighborhood. An RV park that goes through, that certainly would, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, it would.
Okay. All right.
It's kind of going to be set up like a KOA campground with shower facilities and toilet facilities. But Dollar General, since it's been there the last, I think, 2 or 3 years, it's become a magnet for the homeless to get their beer and cigarettes. So they come through our neighborhood from West Home Park, which is about 4 blocks away. And so this would just add to the concern for all the law-abiding citizens as far as their safety is concerned.
All right. Well,
and plus, it will create a huge traffic nightmare. And, you know, you've got school buses, you know, coming from Parkside Elementary and the different schools. So it's a potential nightmare problem.
Given the shortage of housing in Southern Oregon, Grants Pass no exception here, Kim, would you be okay with it if it were actually just apartments rather than, a KOA-style campground?
No, the city tried to, with OnTrack, build a low-income housing project on that property. And so we in the neighborhood went and fought the city council on it, and so they ended up shelving it because I think OnTrack was mishandling funds. Huh. There was something going on there.
So your concern with Southwest Grants Pass, this kind of reminds me of the kind of arguments that go on in West Medford. If you have something for the drunk and the derelicts and the problem people, you throw it in one particular neighborhood and you're in, huh? Is that it?
Yeah, we're in. I mean, the problem is in Grants Pass now, there's so much focus on the homeless. There's no concern anymore for the law-abiding citizen. These homeless drug addicts, they attack the police here. They're constantly going to Three Rivers Hospital for emergency services, and they attack the staff there and the nurses and the doctors. And it's just become a huge nightmare mess for the whole city. And, you know, the homeless have no mercy on the law-abiding citizen. Why should the law-abiding citizen have mercy on the homeless or feel sorry for them?
Yeah, interesting. You were talking about how Dollar General ends up being a magnet for this too, and yet I understand a lot of people go to Dollar General for their, you know, for their necessities. Pretty good price, but yeah, understandably that would be a magnet. All right, let me go ahead.
Yeah, the only park in Grants Pass out of the 20 parks here. There's only one park, which is Reinhardt Volunteer Park, where they're not allowed to set up camp. But right on the other side of the river in Tussing Park, it is filled with homeless campers. And I biked through Reinhardt Volunteer Park yesterday on my bicycle and decided to go through Tussing Park because it's connected to the pedestrian bridge that crosses the river. And there's, you know, fist fight going on in the parking lot there. And so I get about four houses away, and it sounded like a gunshot. So I called 911 and told the police there's a fist fight in the parking lot, and I think I heard a gunshot. I mean, it's just crazy.
Hopefully the Grants Pass police don't say, it's just homeless being homeless. You know that. You know that, Kim.
No, you know, Grants Pass police, I give them credit. They're pretty good. If you call them, they usually respond fairly quickly. But the problem is emergency services here are so tied up dealing with the homeless drug addicts in our town that when the law-abiding citizen needs help, they're not going to get it.
And it's not just Grants Pass. I have it on good authority here that, in the Medford Park areas that we had a couple of ODs just over the last couple of days. It's just a continuing intractable problem. And we seem to be getting ordered to just feed the bears, so to speak. I don't know if that's going to work.
And when you have an open border with an uninhibited drug flow of fentanyl and people just pouring through, all it's doing is adding fuel to the fire. It's crazy.
Talking with Kim Hector, concerned about what might be happening to this neighborhood in Southwest Grants Pass. Let me go to another line. May have a question or comment on that. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome. Hello.
Hey, this is Ken from Central Point.
Hey, Ken, did you have a comment with what Kim's dealing with in this neighborhood?
Actually, no, I had a different pebble.
Oh, okay. Well, if you had a different pebble, I'll give you your own call in just a minute, okay? I'll put you on hold, Ken. All right. Well, Kim, I'll tell you what. Let me know what happens tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, and imagine the neighborhood's going to be out there full in force. I really would like to find out, though, if this is just going to be a regular standard RV park. I don't know if the neighborhood can really necessarily stop that. It seems that if you are going to start turning it into yet another Section 8 flop house, though, you may have some juice, you know, helping you out on this. Okay, Kim?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens, but I'm not holding my breath. Okay.
All right. Well, stay in touch. All right. We appreciate you calling.
Okay. Have a good day,
Kim Hector. It is 6:55. Let me go to Ken. Hello, Ken. You were calling just a moment ago, and now I'll let you do your pebble now. Go ahead.
Okay, well, my pebble's getting to be a bigger rock. We had the rate increase for Pacific Power last year, then this year, and next year they're talking about another one, which is going to amount to, what, 50% increase in 3 years?
Yeah, in essence, what you paid 11 cents a kilowatt hour for, you know, just a couple of years ago will be like 17 cents a kilowatt. But remember, though, we're told by Pacific Power we're still better than California, so that should make you feel a lot better.
Well, no, I just heard on the news this morning they're setting up a special account to help people get EVs. Is there anything you know about that?
Oh, yeah. They ended up sending out a propaganda piece yesterday, and I think this has to do with the whole overall decarbonization scheme that the state of Oregon has been pushing through for a number of years. And that's not necessarily Pacific Power's doing. Part of their whole idea of being a publicly regulated utility is that they're going to do a lot of what the state wants it to do, and the state wants a lot of EVs. So the state more or less tells public utility commissions, or PUC regulated utilities like Pacific Power, you are going to do this, right? You're going to do it, right? Yeah, you know, you want to do the the EV thing, and you're going to help out with this program. I think that's just all part of just being a regulated public utility. They're going to do what the government wants to an extent.
Well, it doesn't make it taste any better.
No, it does not. It is not. Not tasty, is it? Not tasty. But,
no.
But that's all right, you know. Give it enough time. Maybe all the EVs will end up self-immolating, and then we won't have to worry about it, okay?
Well, then we'll get charged to get rid of them.
You see, this is a problem, Ken. You're connecting dots, and then I have to keep saying, well, what about this?
Okay, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, what about that? And then you connect another dot. All right, we need to put you in charge over there at the PUC, okay? Let's do that.
Nah, that would be a bloodbath.
All right. Oh, no, don't say bloodbath. Don't say bloodbath. No, bloodbath can never be used unless you're a Democrat. Appreciate the call, though. 658, this is KMED and KCMD.
An intelligent solution is shared with others. This is Randall at Advanced Air. Are you looking for a heating contractor to service your furnace or heat pump? Most of Advanced Air's work comes from clients referring us to their friends and family after a repair. Advanced Air strives to provide excellent service and maintain our 5-star rating on Google, Facebook, and BBB. As a Bryant Factory dealer, Advanced Air is grateful for loyal customers. Your referral is the greatest compliment on a job well done. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to deliver best-in-class home comfort.
Make the intelligent choice. Visit myadvancedair.com.
Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit firstresponseirs.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer.
Bruno, the Fontana Roofing shop dog and mascot, is particularly fired up at the end of a long day. Let's find out what all the commotion is about.
And there's Bruno, always excited to see us. It looks like he has something on his mind.
He never disappoints.
Yes, you are a contractor's best friend. No arguments there.
No, I believe that's plural. He's saying we are a contractor's best friend. Uh-huh. Valid points, Bruno. Since Fontana now has a full metal shop, providing flashing, siding, skirting, gutters, practically any custom metal detail contractors need in a variety of colored coatings.
He's right. I suppose it does make us a contractor's best friend. Wait, what? Did he just call you a jerk?
Nah, he can smell the jerky in my pocket. Here you go, buddy.
For your next metal project, call your friends at Fontana Roofing. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
At Batteries Plus, we want to know, what moves you? Is it an SUV, or a motorcycle, or a golf cart, or a boat? Whatever moves you, drives us. Batteries Plus, bringing power to your life. Stop in or shop online at batteriesplus.com.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
So, Kim Hector talked with me about concerns in his neighborhood, Southwest Grants Pass. He was on Lars yesterday talking about that, too. And this concern about this RV park possibly going in next to the Dollar General. And not only a state rep, but he's also a city councilor, Dwayne Junker. How you doing, Dwayne? Let's set the record straight.
Good morning, Bill.
So you want to talk about what is it going on with this this piece of property next to a Dollar General? It's going to be possibly annexed into the city. What's the story there as you see it?
Well, as I see it now, let's make this fact straight, that I am not the homeless lover in town. I think people know that.
That's pretty well known. Yeah, we get that.
Yeah. So let's get those facts straight, that I don't want to condone any of the behaviors from the homeless and all this other stuff. I'm most in the other extreme. So this piece of property, and I haven't read everything about the property, but I do know a little bit about the owners. They own, if I'm right, they own Jack's Landing at the north end of town, which is already an RV park. We have there's a Moonlighter, I think, RV park in town. I know the owner of that one. And there's probably – there is another RV park going on over behind where the old bus stop's at. So there's other RV parks being put in.
So this is not unusual then, this request, though?
No, this is not unusual. Now, the city – as I'm saying the city, I'm the city council – has not or talked about moving homeless people onto Bridge Street into this RV park. Now, I don't know the intentions of this owner or what his intentions are, but he is property.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the property is surrounded by all, I think, almost all four corners of city annexed in property. So he's in the city limits. And I haven't done all my research, but on all three, at least three sides are all city property. And, again, this is a private person building this RV park. I have not heard anything about moving homeless into the neighborhood.
Okay.
And tonight and tomorrow night is only about annexing the property or moving lines. The city doesn't. I think we need to be very careful when we talk about people's property rights.
No. And I agree. And at the same time, someone else's property rights could have a deleterious effect on a neighborhood, you know, depending on what is going there. It's certainly, if they end up doing an RV park, there certainly would be additional traffic and issues. At least the potential would be there. Would that be a different kind of conversation, not with the city council, but maybe with planning commission or, you know, something like that? How does that work?
That is a different conversation. The city council only, you know, adjust property lines or annex property in. They're not saying what someone can do on this property. That is not what we're going to do tomorrow night.
Okay.
We've had this problem before where this, you know, residents come and say, hey, well, there is a process when you apply for permitting that they go through, and that's the process, and they can appeal higher than the city council.
Okay.
If we try to take people's property rights away. And I'm not saying that he's not, maybe he is right about homeless in the trailers. I don't know, but he's assuming, I would say, that that's what's going to happen. I don't know that, and I don't think he guarantees he knows that either.
All right. Well, it should be an interesting conversation tomorrow night, one way or a lot of give and take on that. I appreciate you doing it from a city councilor's point of view on that, too. Thank you, Counselor.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Thank you. No, bye.
Thank you. Dwayne Yunker. It's 7:04. This is KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KCMD Grants Pass. And we go to line two, Pebble in your Shoe Tuesday. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. This is Betty in Grants Pass.
Hi, Betty.
You know, the everybody that goes to the old sports park, 99% of them would have to pass this this intersection where the, quote, the homeless are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that where it is, it used to be like a construction company. It was for many, many, many years.
Oh, so that explains why I saw pictures of the cable reels and things like that sitting in the
exactly.
And trucks sitting in there. Sure.
For many, 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 many years, that's what it was. And they would have lots of equipment. Then all of a sudden they would cut it down to just a handful of things, and then it would build back up. And so they probably did a lot of work out of county on that, I would think.
Got it.
Now, they refused to let them put in a homeless place out on N Street, the old Lou Merrill Lumber Company, because the people that with the condos across the street, and then they changed an ordinance for the school that was out there too. They wouldn't allow that. So if they wouldn't allow for the condos or if the condos got out of the homeless situation on N, I don't know why they couldn't turn around and do the exact same thing if indeed they're going to bring they want to bring them down there on the bridge. To me, it would be the exact same thing. And the homeless don't care, period.
All right. Betty, appreciate the input. Thank you. I'll grab one more. Hi, KMED, KCMD.
Is Minor Dave?
Yes, Dave.
Yeah, I was wanting to say that tomorrow night at 5:30 at Copco Community Center, they're having a meeting with attorneys to gather up the victims of the dam removal. And it's a pretty big law firm. out of New York, and they specialize in environmental law.
All right. Tomorrow night, community center, right?
5:30 p.m.
All right. Captain Bill's going to check in from that, from the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors there. There's going to be a meeting this morning at 9. Rumor has it there's going to be an emergency order declared. So I'll get back to you on that one, Dave. Okay? Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
All right. 7 after 7. Hi, it's Bill Meyer.